Back, you're listening to a This Week election special on RT Radio 1 with Justin McCarthy and Gavin Jennings. Let's go back to the local elections now and find out what's been happening in the past half hour or so. We'll rejoin Barry Lenehan at the RTE Election Results Hub. Barry, take us through the developments there in the past hour or so.
Yeah, 127 first counts in. We're operating that the turnout in these local elections is approximately 48%, which would be a record low for these types of elections. But Fine Gael still leading the way on 90 seats to Fianna Fáil's 84, and a few balls bouncing in the direction of Fine Gael in the last short while. Noel O'Donovan just elected in Skibbereen and West Cork. That's a significant gain for the party there, as they're currently without a TD in that area, the home of Michael Collins, their spiritual leader, of course, for the first time in almost 50 years. So he has just gone in, whilst Fine Gael are also on course to take three seats in Blackrock in Dunleary, a party stronghold again there, and amongst those to get elected will be Maurice Dockrell, who will be the fourth generation of his family to be elected in Blackrock, going right back to 1898. Fianna Fáil still not giving up hope that they will emerge out on top in the battle for to be the top party at local government. And one to watch is in Galway City East. We will have some history here, as Labour's Helen Ogbu is set to take the fourth seat in Galway City East, and she would thereby become the first person of colour to sit on Galway City Council. So that would be a significant development. But talk of a recount is already circulating at that count centre, as further down in the battle for the final, the sixth and final seat there, just 14 votes separate Fine Gael's Shane Ford and Fianna Fáil's sitting councillor Mike Crowe, the brother of Senator Ollie Crowe, and just 14 votes separating them. So that one will really go to the wire, with party apparatchiks and both parties really keeping an eye on that to see what happens. Another story to note up in Inish Owen in Donegal, and it looks like just one woman will be elected to Donegal County Council, that being Joy Beard of the 100% Redress Party. She'll be the only woman elected to Donegal County Council, we think, 45 years to the day that Donegal elected its first ever female councillor. Clare Morris earlier on elected its first ever female councillor, Alma Gallagher, for Fine Gael, where Patsy O'Brien, formerly of the party, topped the poll. He left Fine Gael in recent years following a disciplinary process. The curse of Cork Mayor has also been broken in Fermoy. The last three mayors of County Cork at the local election time have lost their seat, but no such luck for Frank O'Flynn, who's been returned there in the past few moments, while in Offaly, Claire Murray of Fianna Fáil has won a seat, perhaps at the expense of Claire Murray of Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin currently have 16 seats on 11.3% of the vote. Where will their vote land ultimately? Some suggestion it might be around 15%. Labour on 20 seats at 6%, including trebling their seat number in Tipperary, while 70 independents have been elected with 20% of the vote. And the most independent perhaps to be elected in the coming moments will be Martin Grady in Kerry. He had to take the Department of Housing to court in order to get onto the ballot paper as a retained firefighter. But he also had a motion before Kerry County Council calling for Ukrainian refugees living in hotels to pay towards heat, accommodation and other costs. So one to watch there.
Barry Lenehan, thank you very much for that. We'll hear more from you later.
Now, on Friday, which seems an eternity ago now, our reporter Gavin O'Callaghan visited polling stations in Dublin, Port Laois and Gorey to get an idea of what kind of issues the public were talking about and voting on. Here's what they had to say to him.
Mostly climate change.
One of the main issues is definitely a stance on Palestine at the moment. I think that's a really important big issue, especially for the European elections, you know, with Europe being so divided on it.
Green.
For European and local, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, and what was your thinking behind that then?
Well, we're old now, it doesn't make much difference to us, but it'll make
He's
a big
old.
Difference. Oh, Jeannie Macker. I'm old. Not going to make much of a difference to me, but it will for the kids coming up along, and hopefully they will anyway.
Yeah. For me personally, it's the first thing for me to vote in Ireland, and it's more based around like my daughter, just looking for services for her, so she has special needs, so that's where like, my main vote will go.
From Port Laois, yeah?
Port Laois, yeah.
And what would be the main issues then?
Oh, God, well, housing is a big one. Housing, I have a good few friends now that can't, you know, afford for getting the mortgages or trying to get houses, they just can't at all, and that'd be the biggest thing for me now. And mostly the amount of people that's coming into the country as well.
I suppose climate change, things like that, you know, because I've got a young family who are very into all that, so...
Well, immigration.
Immigration, yeah.
Immigration and housing.
Here in Gorey now, basically parking, housing and water supply.
Traffic is the main thing, you know. Traffic, we need more safety spots. There's a lot of dangerous places in Gorey from different roads, you know, from coming out and from side streets coming out into the main roads and all. We need more of that, you know, more safety reasons, you know.
Housing crisis seems to be the biggest one at the minute anyway. I know a lot of people my age can't afford to move out and stuff and so get mortgages and actually getting houses.
I don't think of issues, I think of the man and whoever does anything for me. And anything I ever got, but then I can't give out. I never asked any of the other parties.
No, I voted independent because I just was sort of fed up with the parties.
There's a range of views there for you. People at polling stations in Dublin, Portlaoise and Gorey speaking to our reporter Gavin O'Callaghan. A few more people elected to tell you about. Donnacha Mulcahy elected in Lismore, and that's in Waterford. Mark Fitzgerald for Fine Gael in Carrick and Shore in Tipperary. Pascal Fitzmaurice of Fianna Fáil and Marty McDermott of Fianna Fáil, both in Roscommon in the town there. Bridie Collins and Adair Rathkeel in Limerick City and Council. Pamela Kearns and Rona McMahon. Pamela Kearns of Labour, Rona McMahon, independent in Rathfarnham Temple Oak in South Dublin County Council. And Carmel Brady of Fine Gael in Ballyburra Coote Hill in Cavan County Council. Now we have a fresh panel for you for our second hour. Dr. Teresa Reedy is political scientist at University College Cork. John O'Brien is Professor of European Integration at Maynooth. Oran Flynn was so good the first time round we kept him. And Hugh O'Connell is political editor at the Sunday Times. Dr. Teresa Reedy, I'll come to you first of all. We heard from Jack Chambers and indeed from Patrick O'Donovan speaking earlier to Colm and Rachel this morning, saying that we'd got it all wrong in the media and amongst the political pundit elite, that we had predicted the demise of the two big parties, that Sinn Féin were going to be on the rise. Why did we get it all wrong? What would you have to say to that?
Well, I think politics is dynamic, and I'm surprised I have to explain that to politicians. Things change. There's no doubt that the polling does need to... We need to be very careful in how we speak about it, and we often talk about trends as being more important, and I think the trends were there in the last couple of weeks. We know that 12 months ago we were looking at a very different picture in the main opinion polls. Sinn Féin in particular were riding high. And in fact, the big story of the last 3 to 5 months was this question of the tightening of the Sinn Féin vote. Now, it tightened a lot more over the course...
To about 12%.
Well, it actually halved, to be straight about it, you know. So there's but the direction was definitely there. I think probably the more serious questions in relation to Fianna Fáil, certainly the polls are undershooting them. They're not capturing the full extent of Fianna Fáil's support on the ground. There's always been a touch of that. I think it varies a little bit, but undoubtedly it's part of the picture. I was looking at the polling indicator earlier today, which is the kind of amalgam of all the polls, and they had them in there in the middle around 17-18%, and they're probably going to come out 22-23%. So, you know, there is a disparity there. And there hadn't been much movement in relation to the Fianna Fáil figures, whereas in relation to, like, Fine Gael was on the up, Sinn Féin was on the way down. So, you know, they were certainly capturing some of what was happening in the political mood and some of the shift in the political change, albeit that these things seem to have accelerated. And I think the wisdom that comes out of that is campaigns matter. I mean, we know that up to 50% of people are making up their mind during the campaign. The days when elections were predictable based on how people voted the last time, you know, we're long past that point.
Yes.
And campaigns and what happens in the course of campaigns and how messages are communicated, they all matter a great deal. And polls capture some of that, but ultimately that process continues right up until polling day. And, you know, the final outcome doesn't necessarily mean that the polls were all wrong. There might be tweaks needed, but they're managing and measuring a dynamic situation.
Hugh O'Connell, we talked about volatility an awful lot, particularly in almost every election now since the 2011 election. This was the first election in 4 years. We had a referendum which delivered a bit of a surprise this year. And yet here we are for the fifth election in a row where Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are getting around about 50% between the two of them, around about 25% yeah. each. Everything changes, nothing changes.
Well, I mean, if you look at where Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael's vote combined would have been historically, it would have been a lot higher. But, I mean, it is the case, as you say, that there is now a block of Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil that is roughly in and around 40 to 50%, and it's not really changed massively in the last five, six, seven elections. And that, I think, and I mean, just to go back to the polling point, I mean, there was the latest opinion polls were showing Fine Gael at about 22, 23%. And that's what it looks like they're coming in at in terms of, yes. of the local elections. Look, Sinn Féin were clearly on the slide, and that was being seen in the opinion polls, but obviously not, the full extent's not clear. And yes, there is an issue with Fianna Fáil, and they've been in this station and on other stations giving out about it. And they've been giving out about it for the last 10, 15 years.
That polls don't represent their
vote. That polls don't represent their vote. So something has to be looked at in that space, clearly. But, I mean, I do think that the polls were tracking a situation that has transpired, probably more dramatically than we expected, but, you know, not a million miles away from where we landed.
Orin Flynn, if we know that 50% of the vote is coming from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, then the question mark is over where the other 50% of the vote is going to go. And it seems to be a little bit dependent somehow on turnout. There's a big difference in turnout between local and general elections. Does that give us the reason why there's such a big change?
Yeah, well, I was saying before the break, I mean, it's 48.6, I think, is the turnout for the locals. And that's about 20 points, roughly, from a general election would be. And I think it does make a difference. I said before the break, and I suspect it is, that Sinn Féin are probably more impacted by that. Because a lot of Sinn Féin vote traditionally on the exit polls and also in previous elections, that it comes from younger people. And this election, a lot of younger people, I was at polling station on Friday, obviously, and there was no younger people in the polling station whatsoever. And it was reasonably populated. And among younger people, my son's friends and all of that.
Say young now? What
young, a lot younger than me, obviously. But I mean, no, young in terms of under 35. Right. And that's where traditionally the big Sinn Féin vote has come from. But the locals the last time, because there was exit polls the last European locals, there was none this time. And it's shown that the young people didn't bother the last time, which is probably accounts for to some extent why Sinn Féin were so low in the last locals, but they got them out for the general. Now, again, it's the same conundrum for this time. Will they do it again? You know, and I think the other thing is that people don't like being told how they should vote. And I think the referendums prove that. You know, you have to vote. And social media said you have to vote yes, yes. And it turns out 75% of the people in one of the referendums, 69 or something, and the other, voted no. Because they didn't want to be told how they should vote. And I think, you know, I think Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, they are what you expect. And they've been fairly consistent in that yeah. message for many, many years. And Sinn Féin haven't. Sinn Féin effectively almost turned themselves into an establishment party now because they do the same things. They try to ride, to use a sort of a racing analogy, they're trying to ride both horses at the same time and they've fallen off. And I think that's where the problem for them is.
John O'Brien, Professor of European Integration at Maynooth, we call these second-order elections. How do we... And we're seeing the difference, for example, between the amount of people who are turning out. Are politicians taking local and European elections as seriously as general elections, compared perhaps to our European counterparts?
In a word, no. There's this incredible disjunction in Ireland between our support for European integration, that is public support, and the political class. And yet between referendums in particular, the normal sort of business of politics, nobody's interested in Europe. If you go into the Dáil, there's about a handful of people who are genuinely interested in European affairs. And you can see this in candidate selection for the bigger parties. Sinn Féin are doing poorly, in my view, partly because they selected poor candidates. We've seen in the selection of celebrity candidates for some of the other parties or people who are coming from the Dáil, having never said anything serious about Europe in their careers, that we just do not take Europe seriously. What we do is we leave it to the professionals in the Department of Foreign Affairs. Twice in the last quarter century, referendums have failed, and they have failed, in my view, mainly because the political parties just do not take Europe seriously.
But are people not taking it seriously? I mean, if people care enough about local government, then it's on the same day as the European election, surely they would turn out.
Well, they take their cues, I would argue, in good part from their political parties. And nothing has really changed the dial on the second order dynamic.
Well, the parties, would argue that they're standing some of their biggest candidates, for example, in these elections.
I'm not so sure that I can identify even a single big beast amongst all of the big political parties and the candidates they're standing. And certainly in respect of their engagement with Europe. I'm not talking about the sitting MEPs, but somebody like Barry Cowan. I've never heard him say a word about Europe in his entire career.
He's a big beast within Fianna Fáil. That shows they're taking seriously, isn't it?
Well, I mean, in fairness, he talked about Europe in his campaign more so than some candidates during the campaign who preferred to major on domestic issues. I mean, I think in fairness, I'm not going to defend Barry Cowan, but I did hear him talk about European issues.
Well, Lisa Chambers was the only serious candidate in the Fianna Fáil tranche.
But she spent most of her campaign having to go with the Green Party over domestic issues.
But if you look at her record, she was their Brexit spokesperson, and she was really treated with contempt by the party all the way through the campaign. They added a third candidate, and it hurt her more than it did Barry Cowan.
I'd just add to that, actually, there are also consequences from kind of the vein of this debate in terms of how we operate in the European Parliament afterwards. The candidates we send to the European Parliament matter in terms of their ability to kind of navigate the European power structures. If you send serious heavy hitters to the European Parliament, they already have networks. And I think Frances Fitzgerald is a really good example here. This is somebody who is, very senior in Fine Gael. She goes to the European Parliament as a deputy Prime Minister, and there's a club of Prime Ministers and Deputy Prime Ministers and former ministers who work in the European Parliament, and she slots into that.
Does that same mean you have to be part of the big party then? Because I mean, we're electing not only people from small parties but independents as well.
It means you have to be part of the big party groups in Europe, and the people we send need to map onto those. There are significant groups in the European Parliament. So at the moment, because the Labour Party doesn't do very well at elections in Ireland, we have nobody in the second largest political grouping in the European Parliament, where half of the prime ministers come from. So it's not about which specific party you are, it's how those parties and those MEPs map to the structures in Europe. And because we send a lot of independents, they just don't map onto the European structures, and it's much more difficult for them to operate within Europe, where they've never had independents. They don't even know what they are.
But the paradox about the turnout is this, that the European Parliament is the one EU institution that has gained power with almost every significant constitutional revision. It is hugely powerful. It does all of its work through its committees. So I would say that if you're a respected MEP, maybe in your second or third term, and you're on the Agricultural Committee, you have more power if you are the chair of that committee than the Irish Minister for Agriculture. But somehow that message isn't really communicated effectively within Ireland.
We could carry on this conversation for much, much longer. We don't have the time, I'm afraid. Dr. Teresa Reedy, John Brennan, Oran Flynn and Hugh O'Connell, thank you all for joining us. On the subject of independence, Kevin Boxamoran is widely expected, has been elected on the first count in Athlone with a huge vote, I gather, too. John Kennedy for Fine Gael, elected in Stillorgan for Dunleary, in Dunleary Rathdown, and Mary Hode of Fianna Fáil, elected in Tuam on Galway County Council. And we had spoken about the European Parliament, also about independence and perhaps a little bit of uncertainty over what groupings they would join. Niall Boylan is hotly tipped to take a seat in Dublin. We'll be talking to him next. Welcome back. You're listening to This Week Election Special on RTE Radio 1. Don't worry, Sunday Sport is coming up after us here at 3 o'clock with live coverage of the Munster Hurling Final between Clare and Limerick. We'll have more results again later this evening at 6 o'clock here on Radio 1, and we'll have another election programme tonight between 10 o'clock and midnight, when we should have a clearer idea of European results right across the continent. Now, talking of European elections, we heard from count centres earlier. Very, very early days, as counting only started at 9 this morning. We're not expecting any first counts until at least later on tonight, and perhaps not even till tomorrow. The constituency most likely to deliver a first count first will be Dublin. Let's cross there to the RDS and speak to Independent Ireland candidate Niall Boylan. Niall Boylan, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Gavin.
How are you getting on so far?
I'm really excited, to be honest with you. I mean, I've been told that I could get a third or fourth seat. I'd like to get the third. I don't want to be squabbling over the fourth for the next 3 or 4 days, which could be the case. But look, I'll be happy. A seat is a seat, as they say, because I want to go over to Europe and obviously get the job done.
Well, you can see the votes. I can't. How big is your pile so far?
Yeah, the piles look fairly big. There's a few separate piles. You've got to remember, I'm kind of new to this as well, so I've never been in a count centre in my life, even though I've worked in media for 30 years. I've had reporters out at count centres. So the piles look big, and what's really good and what's really interesting to see, I've been kind of peering over the railings, is the transfers. And unusual transfers. Like, for example, on Éireann Éireann sheet, I see a transfer for me. And you would imagine that somebody who would vote for Éireann or vote for me would have, you know, a specific view of life. And we have a very polar opposite views of the way the world should work. So there are unusual types of transfers from me going to Fine Gael, for example, or Fianna Fáil, which is something that you wouldn't expect. So the transfers are kind of unprecedented, as somebody who's an expert here told me.
Okay, but judging from what you've seen so far, if you're going to be elected, you're going to need transfers. Where are you getting them from more reliably so far?
I'm going to obviously get them from some of the right-wing candidates who would be down the bottom, most likely. If I can get half of their transfers, I'd be very happy with that. But I think I'm transferable from a point of view of just being a radio presenter that people trust. I mean, I've been doing a radio show for 30 years, and I've had so many people listen to that show over the years on many different issues, by the way, not just immigration or housing or whatever it happens to be, on all sorts of social issues as well. And people think maybe that I'm a kind voice, or I'm an interesting voice, or a trustworthy voice. And they want somebody they can trust, or somebody who's going to follow through on the promises they make. So I think from that point of view, I'm transferable no matter what your view of immigration or housing or whatever it happens to be is.
But you're likely to be in the mix with a lot of, to broadly characterise them, left-leaning candidates in the mix for the third and the fourth seat. I know you mentioned you'd seen a couple of transfers from Éireann O'Riordan. You're going to need transfers from the likes of perhaps Kieran Cuff, Breed Smith, Claire Daly. Are you seeing those?
Claire Daly?
Yes.
Yep. Yes, I'm seeing those too. And I think, although Claire and I would have very different views on life and things like that, I think that I'm getting those transfers from Claire Daly because maybe it's an anti-establishment kind of vote. So in other words, you know, people who just don't want the government to get in again or don't want government parties to get in again. And it surprises me, by the way, over the last 2 days with both the local and the EU elections here that I'm seeing Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil getting so many votes. But then again, like my father, rest his soul, you know, he was a Fianna Fáil man and it didn't matter, Fianna Fáil could blow up the country tomorrow and he'd still vote for them. So I think there's a lot of that there as well, that people think, oh, well, look, it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't. So I think that's why Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael still get those votes.
Do you know yet which grouping you would join if you're successful in taking a seat in the European Parliament?
It's the most popular question that I've been asked over the last 6 weeks.
And, that's because and we don't know the answer
like
to it.
Get out clause. I know.
Do you
but
know?
Here's the thing. You know, do I know? No, yes. Not at the moment. And I'll tell you why. Because Europe is going to change. I mean, if we look at some of the candidates across Europe at the moment, it is going to move to the centre. It most likely, now, don't get me wrong, I would not like to see an extreme right Europe. That's not what I would like. But it has been far too left for far too long. So you're going to see those groups change. The EPP, the ECR, all of those groups are going to change. You might see a formation of new groups as well. So that's something that I'm going to have to look at with my own campaign manager as well. We're going to look at over the next few days. Well, depending, of course, if I get elected today, which I'm quite confident that I might.
Niall Boylan, thank you for speaking to us from the RDS.
Let's get a word now with Paul Murphy, Solidarity People Before Profit TD for Dublin Southwest. He's in our studio with us. Paul Murphy, good afternoon. Thanks for coming in. How are things looking this lunchtime for your own party's candidates in the field?
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, for small parties, it's a question of holding the seats that you have and trying to win some more, trying to carve out bases in different geographic areas. So we will hold the vast majority of our seats and we'll make a number of gains.
Your share of the votes down slightly so far.
Yeah, again, for a party like ours, it's really a question of whether that vote is concentrated in areas where it can get you over the line. We will increase our number of seats. I mean, in South Dublin County Council, for People Before Profit, we will go from one seat to three, hopefully four. There's one that's very much in the mix there, which is an important step forward for us. We're going to win a seat in Ballymun Finglas with Conor Reddy. And I think Ono Canavan's seat in North Inner City, which was earlier being generally said that he would win, I think that's looking a little bit more kind of doubtful now. But some gains.
We've seen a small number of candidates who campaigned on an anti-immigration platform doing well. Do you see that changing the political dynamic as we head into a general election?
Well, I don't think it's just them. I think that the key thing that happened in this election campaign is that the political establishment has been searching for a weapon to stop the rise of Sinn Féin, and they found it. And it was the question of immigration. And so for the past 6 weeks, we've been treated to a diet by much of the media, but also by the government, of immigration, 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 and a series of cruel policies unveiled by the government, going after Ukrainians, going after asylum seekers, leaving people on tents in the streets, then destroying their tents, then allowing them to come back, then destroying their tents again. That's the key thing that happened, and then how Sinn Féin reacted to that.
But are you suggesting that that's an issue that was driven by the government parties and by the media, rather than it coming from communities into the media that way?
I think it's a bit of both. So there undoubtedly is a real discussion taking place about migration and so on. Obviously, the total numbers coming into this country, both Ukrainians and international protection applicants, has come down year on year on year. 22, 23 will be down again in 24. So I think it was a discussion point, no question. But then the government decided, OK, we'll make ourselves appear hard on migration. Won't make any difference to the housing crisis, no difference to the health crisis, no difference to the cost of living crisis, won't improve anyone's life. And then I think the big, big, big mistake that Sinn Féin made was to welcome each of their cruel measures, to say we would go even further if we were in government, and therefore to cement migration as a very, very central issue in the election campaign. And then people have the sense that I don't trust Sinn Féin on migration. They're flip-flopping on this, they're flip-flopping on that, and then they lost votes on both sides, as opposed to taking a clear left position saying this is not the issue. The problem is the government, the problem is the economic system, the problem is the corporate landlords, the private developers and so on. And I think they've paid a very, very significant price today as a result.
Do you see the rise of independence as something that will hurt your prospects going forward?
I mean, potentially. We have been here before in Irish politics in terms of rise of independence. We go back to the Independent Alliance, where there's big disillusionment with the political establishment. There was a real sense of we need to get rid of the party kind of system, get others in who'll be different. Obviously, they ended up in coalition with Fine Gael and independence went down again. So this kind of comes and goes. I think certainly different parts of this independent vote. There's a part of it which is a quite kind of right populist vote in some cases. Far right, it's a small number of cases, vote. And then there's your traditional ex-Fianna Fáil, ex-Fine Gael guy who didn't get selected and now presents themselves as independent. I think people will see through most of these people. And then obviously there's genuine left independence. There's people like Thomas Pringle. There's people like Catherine Connolly, like Joan Collins, like Claire Daly. So it's a mixed bag. I do think that some of it is people pretending to be in opposition to the establishment when, like, they're not.
Just turning to the European elections now in the contest in Dublin, it's very hard to say at this stage because we don't really have any numbers. But what's your sense of how things are going there?
I mean, I don't think anyone really knows. I think that is the truth. What I hear is that Breed Smith is definitely in the picture, is maybe doing slightly better than the opinion polls would have said.
Does it surprise you that what Niall Boylan was just saying to Gavin there, that he is picking up transfers from Éan O'Rear, on from Claire Daly and others?
Personally, I wouldn't read too much into that. I've heard a lot of talk in the media about that over the past couple of days, and I think what has happened is you're dealing with large numbers of voters, and some voters, not every voter votes in what we around this table might see as a rational way, right? So small numbers of voters vote in ways that are seen to be strange and interesting. That gets blown up, and then everyone's saying the transfers are all over the place. I tell you, in Dublin Southwest, transfers were not all over the place. Sinn Féin are transferring 80% to Sinn Féin. People for Profit are transferring, and Solidarity, 50% to each other. Right-leaning independents are transferring too. So I think, right, on the whole, these things balance themselves
We'll know by the end of the week. Paul Murphy, Solidarity, People for Profit, TD for Dublin South West. Thank you for coming in to talk to us today.
All over in Piltown, in Kilkenny, Jenny Cat Slattery of Fianna Fáil, elected Fidelis Doherty of Fine Gael, Ger Frisby of Fianna Fáil, that election count is complete. Peter Feeney of Fine Gael, elected in Athenry, Oran Mór in Galway County Council. Now let's speak to Fianna Fáil's candidate in the European election, in the Dublin constituency. Barry Andrews joins us now. Barry Andrews, good afternoon. Where are you at the moment?
I'm at the Fingal County Council near Dublin Airport.
So you don't have sight of what I was asking Niall Boylan about a short time ago, the size of your pile at the RDS, but I gather it's quite large.
Well, I haven't been to the RDS yet, Gavin. And there, as you know, there's been no tally. It's impossible to tally a European constituency without displacing resources from the local tallies that were going on. So, no, I don't know what's going on. You just hear a lot of anecdotal information. So we know at 10 o'clock.
Yes, but I know you were nervous when the first poll came out that would have put you in the lead, and this is some weeks ago, but after what you've been seeing and hearing over the last day or two, you must be pretty confident.
Well, I really don't know. I mean, I agree with Paul Murphy on that. Nobody really knows. So the final percentage is really important. The pattern of transfers will be very important. I don't see anybody getting a quota. I think it's going to be a long count. I think it'll be lucky if we finish by Tuesday night. So I won't be making any predictions, just keeping my fingers crossed.
Do you think that, like many of your party counterparts, you're going to be depending upon and benefiting from Fine Gael transfers to see you over the line?
Unlikely in my constituency, because there's only one Fine Gael candidate, and she is likely to be there until the end, if not elected earlier. So I don't see that being a factor in this particular constituency.
Now, despite what, I know you say you don't know yet, but despite what we're hearing is a good performance and a good vote for you in Dublin, your party's performance in the city, down 1% in Fingal, down 4% in Dublin City Council, down 7% in Dunleary, down 7% in South Dublin. This is in local election results. What's happening with Fianna Fáil in Dublin?
Well, it's too early to say. I mean, we will obviously have to have some reflection on how the local elections have gone. They've been very positive in some areas. We were polling, I read some polls, we were at 15, 16% nationally, and we're up towards the mid-20s. So there's a lot to be optimistic about for Fianna Fáil with the general election coming into view within the next year. So with regard to Dublin, there are very local factors around incumbency, around retirements, that have made it difficult for specific candidates. But, here in Fingal, we've got Dara Butler just elected. Bridget Manton is very competitive for a second seat in Swords. So that's positive, I think, for the future for Fianna Fáil in Dublin.
Barry Andrews at the Count in Fingal County Council, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Welcome back. You're listening to a This Week election special with Justin McCarthy and Gavin Jennings. A few more local election results coming in there now. Kildare County Council, Suzanne Doyle from Fianna Fáil has been elected, as has Kevin Duffy from Fine Gael. In Kerry County Council in Listowel, Mike Kennelly of Fine Gael has been elected, and Liam Speedy Nolan, the independent candidate there, has been elected. Galway County Council in Athenry, Oran Mór local area, Peter Feeney also elected. Let's go now to Castlebar, and we can speak with independent MEP Luke Ming Flanagan. Luke Ming, welcome to the programme. Are you confident this afternoon?
Well, I can't be confident on what's going to happen in Meath and Kildare and Louth, because we have very little information from it. And that makes up about 36% of the constituency. But the tallies that have come in, and if they're accurate, I'd have to be happy with it. My vote appears to be up in Donegal, most likely because of the work I've done on defective concrete. My vote has stayed pretty much the same, maybe slightly up in Galway. My vote has stabilised from the last time in Mayo as well. And I seem to be doing quite well all round. My vote is down inevitably, slightly down in the Midlands. Kieran Mullooly would have taken some of that. But as things stands, if the tallies are correct, there's a good possibility I'll be returned as an MEP. But we don't know yet.
We don't indeed. But based on what you've seen, and looking at the papers and so on, how do you see things then going for the other candidates? Who is in with a shot of taking a seat?
Well, the way I see it, Barry Cowan, Maria Walsh, myself, And one of, at this stage, I would say more so Ciarán Mullooly, but the health hazard on that is we don't know what's happening in the east of the country. And I think there's big potential for Fine Gael to take two seats and for Sinn Féin actually not to take a seat, but I wouldn't rule them out either.
Yeah, it's very early days, but you do see now, I mean, we were talking, I think, earlier in this campaign about the prospect of Sinn Féin taking two seats in that constituency. You think now they may be in danger of taking no seats?
Well, if you're looking at the tallies, and I'll say it again, we don't know what's happening in the east of the country. Yeah. If you were in Sinn Féin, you'd certainly have to be worried. When you look at the tallies, I don't know how complete they are, but they were substantial enough in Galway. And you have Michelle Gildenew on 3.8% and Chris McManus on 3.2%. If that performance is repeated all over the west of Ireland, inevitably they're going to struggle.
What's happened for them, do you think?
I don't know, and I'd say it would be head-wrecking enough for them to try and work it out without me trying to work it out for them. I don't actually know. What I've learned over the years is just to concentrate on my own campaign. Don't talk about anyone else's, because it's hard enough to get attention for what you're talking about without giving attention to anyone else.
You're well able to get attention. That's one thing nobody could say about you, that you weren't able to get attention. But we do thank you for coming to our live point to talk to us today, Luke Ming Flanagan.
Let's have one more check-in on the European constituencies. Let's go to Dublin, to the RDS and to the outgoing MEP with the Green Party, Ciarán Cuff. Ciarán Cuff, good afternoon to you. How's it looking for you so far?
Well, we don't know too much. I'm here in the Simmons Court Pavilion in the RDS. There's a lot of counting still going on. We may be as little as an hour away from sorting through spoiled votes, but I think we're several hours away from a first count. So I think it's a long and tedious process. I'm looking at piles of votes. I see some, you know, significant amount of votes there for Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, Fain and Niall Boylan. But look, really, it's the blind leading the blind a bit here, because we don't have the larger picture.
Are you worried, though?
I think it'll be tough. Look, for the Green Party, it's almost always tough, although things went very well 5 years ago. For me, we've often been close to the margin of error in getting a seat or not getting a seat. Looking at the bigger picture for the Greens, we didn't have a green wave, but we certainly didn't have a wipeout. And in many Dublin constituencies, we topped the polls. So I was delighted for Hazel Chew, for Michael Pidgeon, Claire Byrne, and several others who did really well in Dublin and parts of the Dublin suburbs. Around the country, not as well as we were hoping for. For me, I really can't read it. I think it will probably be a group of us there vying for that fourth seat.
Long way to go. Ciarán Cuff of the RDS, thank you.
All right, a quick word from our studio panel before we finish up. Teresa Reedy, what do you think of Luke Ming Flanagan there suggesting that maybe Sinn Féin mightn't take a seat in Midlands Northwest?
I think that would probably be really poor outcome, and it would really capture the extent of the problems that Sinn Féin is facing. I mean, that really, it's exactly as you said, Justin, that's exactly the constituency that we were saying, based on those polls of 26-27%, where they were in with a shot for a second candidate coming over the line, and now neither of their candidates. And I think, looking at Dublin as well, you know, Lynn Boylan topped the poll. This exceptional candidate came from nowhere in 2014. Now she's going to need transfers from Doughty Doolan to substantially get her over the line. So, and in Limerick, in the mayor, which we haven't heard a lot about yet, we all thought Maurice Quinlivan would be out front, probably wouldn't take it because he wouldn't have anywhere to get transfers, but he's not even in the mix at this point. So, it's all pointing in one direction.
Audrain Flynn, have the patterns in this these elections surprised you?
Not particularly. I Sinn Féin are lower than I thought they would be. I thought they were more or less around the numbers that they were showing in the polls. You know, the low mid-20s the last few weeks, that they're this far down does surprise me to some extent. But I say, I go back to the turnout. I think the turnout has been very, very crucial. And it depends for Sinn Féin, for example, whether they can get the younger people out to vote in the general election, whether they can engage with them. Just one last point. Luke Ming Flanagan was on. In fairness to him and Ciarán Mullooly, they were the only two round Kildare that I saw actually personally coming to canvass. Mm.
They covered a lot of ground, didn't
they? They covered a hell of a lot of ground.
Did,
the first day the election was called, the election was dead, well, it was officially got posters. Luke Ming was in Clane with his daughter, putting up posters and engaging with people. So, you know, people voted for him, I think, on the basis that you saw him door to face to face.
And Ming put out the very best video on social media about how an MEP actually goes about their work. It was fantastically good and a model for how you do it.
I was just going to say, it does say a lot about the hubris of Sinn Féin going into this campaign that they could bring someone like Michelle Gillenou, who's very well got in her area from Anastasia Tyrone, where she's not running in the UK general election, but parachuting her into a constituency where she has no real...
Now, we don't know.
We don't know yet. The indications are that, I mean, they're going to struggle now to get a seat there, it looks like.
Professor John O'Brien, when the count is over, I mean, that'll take a couple of days, might even take a week in some constituencies. What would you like to see from the representatives then that we send to the European Parliament?
Well, first, that they're serious people and that they engage very seriously with the political groupings, because as Teresa said earlier, the work of the Parliament really revolves around those groupings. I think we're actually going to see for the first time a big realignment of those groups, certainly on the right. Georgia Maloney, von der Leyen and others have been engaged in different kinds of talks about how that might happen. But you would hope that the people we elect, you know, will be part of, whether they're on the left or the right, that they're part of serious groups of people that go about legislating. But the other thing to watch for, I would say, is national elections. Today we have election in Belgium and in Bulgaria. And by the end of the year, we could see up to a third of European Union governments either controlled by the far right, as in Italy, or with far right components within them. So that's a very serious thing. And in conjunction with the new strength of the radical right in the parliament, it's definitely going to leak into how we legislate in the years to come.
A final word to you, Hugh O'Connell. Two questions in relation to pressure which might be coming on party leaders. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald, will she be under any pressure if they have the bad day that is being predicted? And secondly, the Taoiseach, will he be under pressure to change his mind on the date of the election?
Yeah, well, I mean, Mary Lou MacDonald's put up a very robust the performance, I think, in interviews she's done today, and certainly there, you know, publicly there isn't any misgivings being expressed by Sinn Féin TDs about her future. But look, she's under pressure now. She has to kind of get a back-to-basics approach that's going to get Sinn Féin back into a situation where it's polling at 20-plus percent, and that's going to be difficult based off of what's happened today. So she's got a big task ahead of her. And in terms of Simon Harris, yes, the pressure will come on. I think November is a live possibility for a general election now, but he is adamant publicly and privately that it will be March next year. So we'll wait and see. I don't think this has moved the dial significantly in his thinking, but all that might change. I think after the budget in October, all bets are off.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us today. Hugh O'Connell of the Sunday Times, Professor John O'Brien, Teresa Reedy of UCC and Aldrin Flynn. We do appreciate you coming in and giving us the excellent analysis that you've given us today.
Final few that I'll give you before we go. Kevin Duffy of Fine Gael and Suzanne Doyle of Fianna Fáil elected in Kildare. Ross Paul elected in, I think that's the first one for Fine Gael, elected in Longford. And Una McCarthy of Fine Gael.
I need to declare an interest here. That's my sister, actually.
That's it from us for today. Our team today, Aisling Grufferty on sound, our broadcast coordinator Max Falvey. This week was edited by Elaine Devlin. More election coverage here on Radio 1 at 6 o'clock. Stay up to date too on the RTE website and the RTE News app. Sunday Sport and the Munster Final is next. But for me, Gavin Jennings and Justin McCarthy, thanks for listening. A very good afternoon to you.